Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T&Cs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Let me first get this out of the way. I love Disneyland. I always have. The Haunted Mansion. Pirates of the Caribbean. Space Mountain. Call me a goofball if you want. I love them all. As long as I can remember, there was always a certain rush of magical excitement whenever I talked about it. That smell of the train's axle grease, mixed with fresh popcorn, just as you take your first steps down Main Street. Your first glimpse of Sleeping Beauty's castle, sitting bright and vibrant against the Southern California sun. The wonderful dilemma of having to choose between the Matterhorn or Mr. Toad's wild ride. All this comes with one caveat: the crowds. But with such great adventures about to happen, who cares? We're all there for the same reason. Well, not everyone. These feelings I have towards the happiest place on Earth were ones I so wanted to share one day with my own kids. And for the most part, I have. My son, who's 10 years old, is just now appreciating the magic. Admittedly, however, not as much as I did at his age. But last week I saw his excitement finally spill over as we parked the car and hopped on the tram for our annual summer visit. In late August, the crowds sometimes thin out as school seasons are beginning. This is different for us, having homeschooled our son since the fourth grade. We have more freedom with our schedules than most, and this trip to Disneyland has become our unofficial end to summer and a start to a school year. We all have our favorite rides. My wife and I, the Haunted Mansion, of course. My son's favorite, surprisingly, is the Jungle Cruise. Looking back, it was a fitting place to meet them while waiting in line for a ride with the Savage Survivalist theme. A boat ride where everything goes wrong and you're attacked by all sorts of wild animals. Because that's what they were. Wild animals. They seemed normal enough, a wholesome family of five and friendly as can be. It was the young boy, about the same age as my son, that started the conversation. I hadn't noticed that they were talking, but soon we all became locked in an enthusiastic conversation about our favorite place in the whole world. And they sure knew their stuff. Like, what years the rides were built, oral histories about rides long gone. And when I heard the dad, Walter, call his daughter Ariel, I knew these people were hardcore Disney folk. Walter and Belle have been together for over 20 years. And with their three kids, Ariel, Donald, and Woody, make up the most intense Disneylanders one could ever meet. Everything about them was branded by Disney in some way or another. From the matching mouse ear t-shirts, or the branded lanyards filled with collectible pins right down to Ariel's pink Minnie Mouse sneakers. Even the teenager of the group, Woody, wore his fair share of Magic Kingdom flair. And they talked about the place as if it was their home, even addressing some employees by their first names. Funny thing, the employees certainly didn't respond as if they knew them or even recognized them. It was nothing but confused looks in return. Maybe that should have been the first sign we could have picked up on, or the fact that they were all named after Disney characters. But we didn't. In fact, after the first ride, we became Disney pals, so to speak. We went on a few more rides together and it was nice, especially for my son. Since he homeschools, making friends can be challenging, and watching him mix it up with Ariel and Donna was really gratifying. Both Walter and Belle were super nice, and we were filled to the brim with all sorts of Disneyana facts. Woody, however, was not so friendly. He would stand there quiet and observant. But he was a teenager after all. After a ride on Peter Pan's flight, we stopped off to get a refreshing cola and have a quick seat to rest. We sat together in the shade as we waited for the kids to finish their drinks. Meanwhile, Walter's Disneyland story started to become strange. "I'm actually a lifetime member of Club 33, Walter said at one point out of nowhere with an infectious enthusiasm. For those unaware, Club 33 is an exclusive, nearly impossible to get into, VIP-only private club located in New Orleans Square. It was hard to swallow that he was a lifetime member, and my gut instinct called this out as bullshit. But his promise of us having lunch at this exclusive club kept my doubts at bay. "Let's do a few more rides, then head over," he said. I politely tried to steer in the direction of breaking away, but he insisted we join them. I could see that look in my wife's eyes, the one that's telling me to man up and cut the cord. But hey, Club 33 is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. As we get up to leave, I notice Walter take my son's empty soda cup from him. He proceeded to dump the leftovers into the trash can, then take the mouser lid and straw combo. He handed it over to Belle, who placed it in her fanny pack. Walter looked at me and smiled his bright white row of teeth. "Everything's a souvenir," he said. We should have left them right then and there. But we didn't. Instead, the kids began deciding which ride to go on next, and being the pacifist my wife and I are, we just went along with it. My son broke out his park map to give it a look. Somewhere in the process, he gave himself a nice and deep paper cut across his thumb. I didn't notice until we were all waiting in line at the Haunted Mansion, when I heard Ariel explain to my son that he should suck on the cut to stop the bleeding. Gave him a napkin to use instead. She kept insisting that he suck on the cut. It bothered me. Something about it was unnerving. But later, within the darkness of the stretchy elevator, when I saw Ariel with my son's thumb in her mouth, that my unnerving turned into terror. I was frozen in shock at what I was seeing. So was my son. She was sucking the blood from his cut. My fatherly instinct grabbed his hand and pulled it away from the little s*** mouth. She looked at us both as innocent as a porcelain doll, stoic and calm. I looked around to see if my wife had noticed, but Walter was talking her ear off. In fact, everyone's ears. This ride was the last one Mr. Disney worked on himself before he died. He boasted out to the annoyance of everyone in line. I tried to corral my family so we could ride together, but in the non-stop conveyor belt commotion, I saw my wife ride away with Belle, and I was stuck with Walter. I made sure my son was squeezed in with me. Ariel and Donald rode together. Woody rode alone. For the duration of my favorite ride, Walter proceeded to explain away details from every scene we passed through. The hydraulics and the animatronics, the techniques used to create the holograms. I learned more than I ever needed to or ever wanted, sitting there while he systematically ruined my most favorite and cherished dark ride. But even more disturbing to me was the little bloodsucker in the car behind us, and my wife sitting next to God knows what to our front. We were trapped. All I wanted to do was get us the hell off this thing and away from them. As the ride finally came to an end, the narrator's warning, "Beware of hitchhiking ghosts." I rushed us off and asked the first employee I saw where I could find a first aid station. Who knows what kind of disease these people could be carrying? That girl was sucking on my son's fresh cut. Walter tried to steer us toward Club 33. I took my family's hand once we were entangled amongst the crowd and changed course to Main Street. "Keep walking. Don't look back." My wife understood what I was doing and went along. We walked briskly, navigating the scores of people for what seemed like forever, hoping those weirdos were not behind us. Once we got to Main Street, I finally glanced back and saw nothing. We lost them. I nervously dumped gobs of first aid ointment on my son's thumb, explaining to my wife what I saw. "You're not gonna believe what I saw either," she replied, as I wrapped a Disney-themed band-aid around my son's greasy thumb. There was no time to discuss. We needed to make a decision. We ultimately decided that instead of leaving the park altogether, to head over to the sister property, California Adventure. We did pay for a park hopper pass, and those darn things aren't cheap. Why let some freaks ruin our last day of summer? Fuck them! Plus, we were super hungry. We sat in the corner of the most out-of-the-way eatery we could find, and started to relax as our food digested. I told my wife about the paper cut sucking incident, and she told me what she had seen. It was just as disturbing. While on the Haunted Mansion, she got a glimpse inside Bella's fanny pack where she saw a clear plastic bag with stuff in it. "What kind of stuff?" I asked. "Used tissues. Gobs of matted hair as if pulled from a hairbrush. Flattened out Disney soda cups. Remnants of someone's leftover fast food from the park. What looked like to my wife, a used dry and blood-crusted tampon. And to top this all off, our son's mouse ear soda lid straw combo that Walter had taken earlier." We sat there stunned, almost paralyzed to even move. The only thought that came to my mind was, "What the fuck? Look, there's Woody!" My son stood up and pointed at him. I turned to see his tall and hunched over lanky figure pass by in the crowds. He was alone. I quietly set my son down and tried to make like a hole in the wall. My wife and I locked eyes again. We knew it was time to go home. But when we got up, they came into the eatery out of nowhere. "Where'd you guys go?" Walter belted out with a giant smile full of teeth. They took their seats, blocking us in. I glanced over at Woody, sitting a few tables down all by himself and grinning like a madman. He was following us. Well, what should we ride next, friends? There was a slight change in Walter's voice as he spoke, like he knew we were onto them. I think we're heading home. He wasn't buying my wife's lie. Home? It's barely two. We sat there, trapped again. Then, an idea hit me. I mustered up my best polite person persona and suggested another ride. Mickey's Fun Wheel. Their kids lit up with excitement. My wife looked at me like I had five eyeballs. I tried to play along and tried to act just as excited. We can get a car all to ourselves and ride together! Walter was overcome with joy. While waiting in line, my wife was squeezing my hand so hard I thought she was gonna break it. But I had a plan, and it was nearing go time, especially as we inched closer to the loading platform. The most important thing was to keep this family of freaks in front of us. Every time my son mingled too close to the front, I'd pull him back as inconspicuous as possible, keeping us together. And it was working, except for Woody, who kept lingering behind us. There were only three groups ahead of us, and my heart was lodged in my throat. If this plan didn't work, I'm not sure what we could do next. I had to execute this perfectly. The big gamble was how many rides per car, which was 8. Perfect. It was our turn next to board, and I had managed to get us in the perfect position. They were to our front, and therefore we boarded first. Even that creep Woody. When the wheel turned and our gondola was ready, I casually took my family's hands. Game time. Once the freak show boarded, I pulled my wife and son off to the side and squeezed us back through the line. We quickly made our way past puzzled faces until we reached the nearest place to exit. I looked back to the magnificent wheel now starting to turn, where I saw those creepers crammed into their gondola. Trapped. My plan had worked. I met Walter's eyes one last time before they disappeared higher into the sky. They were pure darkness. We spent no time getting out of there, not even waiting for the tram, and hightailing back to the parking structure. Once we got into the car, I let out a huge sigh of relief. What are you doing? Start the damn car! My wife was not so relieved, and she wouldn't be until we were completely out of there. I started the car and backed out, looking first to my son in the back seat. A feeling of anger came over me. What a shitty day for him. I noticed his band-aid was gone. It fell off somewhere, he said. Fitting, I thought. We drove home in silence. It's been exactly 1 week since our doomed trip to the happiest place on Earth. We've had a few family talks about not letting things get in the way of our fun time, no matter where we are. We shouldn't let that bizarre experience get in the way of future visits. I mean, shit happens, right? I was feeling real optimistic about everything. Until I went to collect the mail yesterday. There was a plain, unmarked envelope mixed with the week's mail. I opened it, and inside was my son's band-aid, along with a note written on it. It's a small world. It read, "Everything's a souvenir. Your friends."
The requirements for this job are so easy that I think an idiot could do it. Stand around all day in a bulky, annoying costume. Wave to tourists, take pictures, and, of course, the number one rule, don't scare the kids. It didn't seem possible to mess up. Just a summer gig to get a little side hustle until fall semester. But that isn't what happened to me. My summer as a Disney-themed cast member character nearly ruined my life. And nearly ended it. I'm not trying to be overly dramatic here and say that what happened to me can happen to anyone that gets this job. I truthfully believe I was in the wrong place at the wrong time. My job was goofy. You know, that lovable talking dog that only goes, yup, 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 and gosh. I was normally around Main Street USA attraction and keeping customers busy with photos and laughs all day long. The shifts weren't bad. The money was good and the kids were mostly nice. Mostly. I think one of the strange things about being a silent actor is how often you hear people's personal lives as they take pictures or pass by. It's this built-in sense of trust, I think. They just assume you are trustworthy, or ignore you maybe. Usually what I would hear wasn't anything of importance, like where they are going to go for dinner, or maybe what ride they would check out next. A few of them would say obnoxious things to me, knowing that I couldn't talk back. But I didn't care. It was good money. I wasn't going to cause a fuss. That changed a few weeks after I started working, and this little kid came up to me for a photo. I did the usual wave to him, a few gentle chuckles, and then he just stood as still as a statue and whispered to me,
"I think someone is trying to hurt me."
I froze, unsure how even to respond. His guardians were a short distance away where they couldn't hear me, but it's not like my employee manual came equipped with this scenario. I nervously chuckled and took the picture, the brief snippet of conversation we had over an instance as his grown-ups tugged him away. He looked up at me with sad eyes as he left, enough to tell me that he had been hoping I could help him out of whatever situation he was in. I was trying not to panic and ignore the nagging sense of doubt. I should have done something. I knew the longer I waited, the more likely this kid was in danger. So I took a break and called my supervisor, who was working over in the animal kingdom. "Sal, I'm sorry to bother you, but the strangest thing just happened," I told him. I briefly described the situation and asked what I should do, and he told me he would get back with me soon enough. But that just made more time pass, more chance for this kid to get hurt. Rather than wait for my supervisor to make a decision, I went over to the security office near Main Street and reported the incident to them as well.
"And around what time was this?"
the officer asked. "Probably 3:30, I said as they started to check the cameras in the back. They fast-forwarded the tapes until I pointed my finger in the image and said, "That's him! Right there!" I was a little relieved to see that, as we checked the tapes, the family hadn't left the parks yet. That meant there was still time to act.
It's not like they're trying to act suspicious or anything. They're going on rides, buying collectibles. Normal stuff,"
the guard said. My boss added to this with a call that told me no missing persons had been reported in the last 48 hours. I looked at the images again, concerned that neither of them were taking this seriously. "Shouldn't we at least check this out and make sure they aren't up to something?" I asked.
"There isn't any reason to interrupt their family vacation, but if we hear other reports from across the park, maybe then."
"I'm sorry," the boss said. Maybe it was because I was new and didn't understand how any of this worked, but it felt like they were basically treating a kid's safety as less important than the money they were making from the family in the park. We couldn't possibly be that expendable, could we? I made a mental note of the last location of the family, the Jungle Cruise attraction, and I told them both thanks for at least looking into the matter. The truth was, I was determined to go find out whether this kid was in danger or not, once and for all. First, I return to my dressing room and get my Goofy costume. No one pays attention to mascots. If I got to the ride and went on it to find the family, no one would bat an eye. I knew leaving my post might get me fired, but I didn't care. I was positive a kid's life was on the line. When I got to the Jungle Cruise, I asked the ride operator if a family had gotten on the ride in the last 15 minutes and had gotten off. He gave me that half-interested look and told me he thought I was pulling a prank. "Please, check," I insisted. He brought in all of the boats a few minutes later, and I saw traces of blood in one of them. They must have slipped away off the ride. I knew that there were plenty of exits throughout the ride in case it ever had an outage, so it wasn't outrageous to assume maybe they had taken one of them. I started up the ride and went into the cruise, frantically searching for any other signs of a struggle. My radio went off as I went further downstream.
"If you don't turn around and get back here right now, you're fired."
My boss. He must have called my bluff, I realized. At the same time, I heard a muffled scream and looked up between the various jungle brush, just in time to see the kid struggling to escape the woman's arms.
"I'm on my way!"
I shouted, climbing off the boat and jumping to the shore. The kidnappers looked at me like I was insane as I climbed over the equipment to reach them. But when they realized I was the same costume mascot from earlier, one of them drew a knife and placed it against the boy's neck.
"Make another move and he's a goner,"
they warned. I could already tell they had cut the poor boy a few times as a warning not to struggle.
"What are you doing? Why would you hurt an innocent kid?" I asked. "Are you fucking kidding? Ransom is the oldest, most profitable business in the book.
And anyone who can afford to take their kid to Disney during a pandemic is definitely loaded,"
the second one snarled. I had to think fast to save him. Then I recalled the part of the ride we were on and took a step back. The kidnapper moved toward me, thinking I was perhaps going to escape. Then, an animatronic elephant reared its trunk out and smacked him right in the face. I moved in a split second, leaping to the kid and grabbing his hand as the kidnapper fell into the waters below.
A second later, one of the boats came over top of them, smashing them. What happened after was routine, for the most part. I guided the kid out and gave him over to the authorities. We later found out that the kidnappers had targeted his family earlier in the Magic Kingdom and were holding them ransom in the hotel. All in all, it was a happy Disney ending, except for me. My boss fired me anyway for being insubordinate. I know it isn't fair, but I doubt I'll ever forget my time there either.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.